lay me down, I'm not my own. I belong to you alone. Lay me down, lay me down. Oh, hand on my heart, this much is true. There's no life apart from you. Lay me down, lay me down. Lay me down, lay me down.
Oh, you, Jesus, let's go down.
I belong to you alone. Lay me down, lay me down. Oh, hand on my heart, this much is true. There's no life apart from you. Lay me down, lay me down. Lay me down, I'm not my own. I belong to you alone. Lay me down, lay me down. Hand on my heart, this much is true. There's no life apart from you.
Lay me down. as we were singing it, it reminded me of the prayer that you prayed as a child. Now I lay me down to sleep. And I really felt like the Lord was kind of leading us into that place this morning. He's wanting us to come into this place of rest with Him. And I'm wanting Ashley to do that song, All My Worship. I feel like we're heading into this place with the Lord where it's this place of rest and giving. And He's been speaking to me personally about sacrifice and giving only what costs me something. Not to give what's easy to give, but to give what's difficult for me to give. So, Father, in this moment, Lord, we're giving all of our worship to You, God. Leaning into You, Lord. Leaning into the Lord. Leaning into You, Lord. We sing about laying it all down and surrendering, laying down our pride, laying all these things down. And now that we've laid these things down symbolically, Lord, now we're leaning into You. Leaning into You. Leaning into You. Worshiping. Worshiping You, God. My husband reminded me this morning, literally definition of worship is leaning in to kiss. So we're leaning into You, Lord. Leaning into You, Father. To give You all of our worship. What costs us, oh God. We wouldn't offer anything that doesn't cost us something, Lord, because You are way too valuable. So worthy, so worthy. The only one found worthy. The only one found worthy.
You're taking us in, God, taking us in right now, Lord. There's nothing I want more than You, Jesus. Oh, take this world and give me Jesus. There's nothing I want more, God. And I will stay here for a little while until I look like the one I behold. Yes, God, we want to look like You, and I will pour out my vial until all of me is on the floor, and at Your feet I will sing. At Your feet I will sing. Your name, Your name is sweet like honey. Your voice, it sounds like the waters. Your eyes are full of fire. The sun's in you. And Your name is pure and holy. For You alone are worthy.
Yes, You are, God.
And there is no one like You, Lord of lords. And King of kings. So I'll stay here for a little while until I look like You, Jesus. And I will on the floor, and at Your feet I will sing.
voice that sounds like the waters. Your eyes are full of fire, of everything the sun to me. Your name is pure and holy, for you alone are worthy, and there is nothing like you, Lord of lords and King of kings. So I give you all my worship, I give you all my worship,
just for a couple of moments here. Just let the music play and let's just... Come on, I just want you to sit in His presence. I just want you to stand in His presence for just a few moments. Let's let... Just sense He wants to do something in the atmosphere that doesn't require us. Come on, let's just steal ourselves before Him for just a few moments. Come on, He's going to speak right now in this moment. Listen. Just the music for just a little bit. Come on, I just want you to sit for just a couple minutes. And if you need revelation on anything, I want you to ask. I just feel like the Lord is speaking right here, right now. Come on, there's some answers that you're looking for. Father, I just release a spirit of wisdom and revelation. Father, every person that's being harassed in their mind, Lord, we just decree peace of mind right now, Lord. Distractions, Lord, we just ask you to come and cleanse. Cleanse from distractions right now, Lord. There are these things almost like swatting flies that are happening to some of you in this room. You're swatting flies. These little distractions. And I believe that not everyone in here has realized that it's a strategic plan of the enemy. And one of these voices has to do, one of these distractions has to do with your value or your worth in the kingdom of God. The Lord's allowing you to go through that season so you truly understand that your worth is in Him. And it's not about you, it's not about your abilities. Sometimes when we're in that moment, it reveals to us what we've placed our trust in. Sometimes the Lord allows what we put our trust in to be shaken to reveal to us that our trust has not been in Him. Come on, I just believe there are people in here this morning that He's revealing to you your trust has not been in Him. And He wants you just to take that thing that you've placed your trust in. Could be your gift, could be your anointing, could be your ministry. And just cast that over on Him. He will not be second place. He won't be second place to good things. Not just bad things. He won't be second place to good things. So Lord, I thank You for Your voice speaking this morning to the people in this room. Thank You, Lord. Our ears are open to hear You. I want to do something really quickly. If I could see the person who had the word. Is Martha in this room anywhere? There you are. So we good with doing this? I'll let you tell them what you heard the Lord say, and then we'll bring some kids up.
This coming week, little Will is going to have surgery, and the Lord has had him on my heart all week. And this morning, I was praying for him coming to church, and he showed me that he wants, you know, we bring the kids up, and Doyle prays over the kids every day that they are the ministers of the day. They have the gifts of healings and all that. And today, they're going to demonstrate. They're going to put that in action. And I've asked Heather, she'll bring little Will up. And I want all the children, just the children, to come up and stand around the chair. Joy, Grace, come on, Micah. I need all the children. Just like when Pastor calls y'all up to dismiss y'all, I need everyone to come up here. Okay, little Will's going to sit here. Heather and Will's going to sit here. Okay. Do y'all know Will here? This is Will if you don't know Will. And Will has to have surgery this week. I don't know if y'all knew that, but he's got to have his little foot worked on, and he's got to have a plate placed in his hip. So we know who can touch him, don't we?
Yes. God.
That's right. God can touch him. Yes.
God.
That's right. And do we believe that God is going to be with Will this week? We believe that, don't we? And what I want you, each one of y'all to do you think it'll be okay, Heather, if they touch him? I want each one of y'all to touch Will, okay? Not on his face, but on his leg or on his back. Can each one of y'all put your hand on Will? You don't have to be afraid. Okay, you don't have to if you don't want to. You're fine. You don't have to. You want to? Okay. You don't? Okay, you don't have to. All right. Now, I want Who here would like to say a prayer over Will right now? You don't have to say it in the microphone, because the microphone's intimidating sometimes, right? So you don't have to say it in the microphone. And everyone here, y'all stretch your hands forth and y'all pray for little Will too.
Father, we just bless the children right now as they go to their classes. Lord, we thank you that their eyes would be open to see, their ears would be open to hear, that you would cause them, Lord, to function and flow in that which you called them to, Lord. We have to say, let the gifts of God, let their gifts come alive. May they see, have dreams and see visions and lay hands on the sick. Huh. Yes, Lord, what you said, but I'm not saying that out loud. I thank you, Lord, for your anointing upon these children, that you would use them in your kingdom greatly. In Jesus' name, amen. You can be dismissed. Thank you for being here today. Come on, why don't you give the Lord just a clap and a shout of praise here this morning. I want to give you a chance to sow this morning. So please don't quit playing music. I want to give you a chance to sow. Father, we just ask you right now that every need of the house would be met. Lord, we thank you that you've called us to lend and not borrow. So we just ask you, Lord, right now in this moment, that you cause the windows of heaven to be opened, that there would be no lack in this house. We pray for every person's tithe and offering and their seed, that it would be richly blessed. We thank you for that, Lord. Open the windows of heaven and bless every family in this room. And if there's any lack in this room, Lord, we ask you to bring provision. And we thank you for it, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, yesterday was a huge success as far as outreach goes. If you participated, looks like I'm missing a lot of people who participated. But we had a great team of people. We had some come on Friday night to help stuff the backpacks. And then we had a good team in here yesterday. So, just thank you very much from the bottom of my heart. It was a success. We saw probably almost 4 hours of people coming, receiving free hot dogs, and the snow cone machine never shut down. There was a line at the snow cone machine from 10 minutes to 12 till almost 4 o'clock. So apparently that's where the anointing rests, is in the snow cone machine. But it was a very, very, very blessed day, and we interacted with a lot of people in this community. So that's what we want. And the beautiful thing about yesterday is we didn't take any money for anything. We just gave. See, that's the model. And I want you to understand that what we did yesterday, I believe, is a picture of what Father's house will be about. That's what we say. We say, experience the Father's love. Well, that needs to be more than just a little nice little slogan. It needs to be the DNA of who we are. So we want to do lots and lots of things to bless and not to receive, but to give. So it was a very, very, very blessed day. In a couple of weeks, we're planning another big giveaway. We've got a tractor and trailer load full of stuff that we're going to give away. And we're going to, so I'm hoping to get some food to go with that we can give food away at the same time. So we'll let you know more about that in the days coming. But we want to do that again. We want to be that church that takes care of its community. So let me remind you, tonight we are planning a service. As the looks of things today, I'm wondering if anybody's going to be at that service. This is the smallest amount of people I've seen in ages. Thank God. I love summer, but it'd be nice when it's over and people quit running all over the world. But we are having a service tonight at 6. We want to pray over any students. If you're a student, please come. We want to pray over you. We want to send you back into the school system blessed and protected and anointed. So that's our goal for the night. Thank you, guys. You can be dismissed. It is important that I mention to you. I won't mention to you. Well, let me just say that the cornhole champions are still the cornhole champions. So, I mean, Byron, we're not competitive or nothing like that. We just, you know, we win, that's all. I know, that's why I'm trying to be as humble as I can right now. Anyway, this morning, Brandon is going to come and bring you the word. Brandon has a word of the Lord on his tongue and in his heart. There is no doubt in my mind about that. So why don't you welcome Brandon as he comes. Father, we thank you that your word would come forth this morning in boldness. Thank you for that, Lord. In Jesus' name.
Good morning. Guys, it's just such an honor to be able to stand up here and not only minister anything from the Lord, but just to see what God's doing in the lives of the people here and in this house in general. It's such a blessing just to be here. I was talking to Sarah the other day, and I said, you know, not trying to quote a 80s hair band, but you don't know what you got till it's gone. You know what I mean? You don't know how good that atmosphere is on Sunday morning or what it feels like to be with your church family and worship a holy God until you don't have it no more. Not that I don't love Wednesday nights, and I'm not saying nothing bad about Wednesday nights. I believe the teaching is what lays the foundation for everything we do. But I also believe that it's so important just to have that presence with the body of Christ. And just to have that presence together. Doyle had me come up last Sunday and say something that God had really been burning in my heart for quite some time, but I had seen that banner on the wall of love, and God had begun to speak to me how the banner of this house was love. The banner of this house was love, and that's what was going to change this region, and that's what was going to change this area. And God's beginning to speak to me about a shift. And it's kind of strange because it's probably been a little while since I've done any kind of message or preached or anything, and I usually spend a lot of time praying, and it just seems like time has just been something that's not been there lately. I mean, it's just, we're putting in a new double wide, and I've got grass to mow if nothing big enough to mow it. It's driving me insane. So I was praying, and I really wanted to spend some time with the Lord, not just to stand up here and give you a good message where you could feel like I had done something amazing, because that's not what I'm about, but I wanted to be able to convey the heart of God to you. I believe that that's what God has called us to do as ministers of the Lord, is to hear the heartbeat of God and convey the heart of God to the people. That's the only thing. It doesn't matter whether or not it's liked or loved, or whether or not you desire to hear it, but the heart of God is what's got to come forward out of us. And I feel like that the heart of God right now is love. The heart of God's always been love, but I feel like there's a shift coming in the way that things go and the way that we do things. But before I go into love, I want to talk about, I'm going to go to, for all y'all that turn in Bibles and on iPads and such like that, I print mine out on a piece of paper. I used to write it out, but I found myself during the service praying for interpretation of what I'd written, so I don't do that no more. My handwriting, it's not that bad, but I don't have no spaces between my words, and I get words that, and I'm thinking, was I speaking in tongues right? Was that what was going on? But when we go to John 13:31-35, I'll give y'all a second. I'll think. Uh-oh. I think I may have not have a scripture in there. Go to the next one. That sounds about like something I would do, is write down the wrong. It says 31-35. Yeah, I think I just didn't copy all of it. It says, therefore, when he was gone out, Jesus said, now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God be glorified in him, God will also glorify him in himself, and shall straightway glorify him. Little children, let a little while am I with you. You shall seek me, and I shall, as I said unto the Jews, whither I go, you cannot come. Is this tracking? Yes, okay. Where I go, you cannot come. So now I say unto you, a new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if ye love one another. I'm also going to go to, and this is in the ASV, if I have cell phone service on here, I may have lost it completely. Nope, there it is. Go to, if you can, on there. My phone's acting crazy. It sounds about normal for phones. That's why I wrote that down on a piece of paper. Go to 1 John chapter 4, if that's possible. If it's not possible, I apologize. Of course it would come up, right? All right, 1 John chapter 4, I'm going to start in verse 4. Ye are of God, my little children, and this is in the ASV, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you that is in the world. They are of the world, therefore they speak as the world, and the world heareth them, and we are of God, and he that knoweth God heareth us. He who is not of God heareth us not. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is God. And everyone that loveth is begotten of God and knoweth God. He that knoweth God, he that loveth not, knoweth not God, for God is love. God began to speak to me quite some time ago that I feel like in a lot of times we look at these scriptures, and I think so much focus has been put on showing your love to people in the community, and very little focus has been put on showing your love to one another inside the house of God. I believe that the key to being loved and showing love in this community is to have a strong foundation of love inside the house. I believe that people will begin to look through the doors and look at our church in functions and begin to say that those are peculiar people when they begin to see a love for one another that they've never seen in any other church. I believe that that is what's going to make us different. And I feel like the Holy Spirit, what he wanted me to establish here in these two scriptures, is that a lot of times when the scripture's talking, it says, if you love one another, that the scripture's talking about the church. It's talking about the church loving one another. This is how they'll know that you're my disciples, because you love one another. But I think sometimes it's so much easier to take that love outside of the doors and outside of the house than it is to love the people that you know. Because to be honest, regardless of whether we want to admit it, and we can say it how we want to say it, love ain't easy. It just isn't easy. Anyone who's had a successful marriage for any amount of time can tell you that love sometimes requires you to say things, do things, and give up things that you don't want to say, do, or give up. That's the bottom line. Love requires us to give ourselves in a way that sometimes we don't want to give ourselves. I believe that God is about to shift the atmosphere and establish a love in the people that people see it and they don't understand it. They don't understand how much we love one another. They don't understand the bond of family that runs so deep in this house right here. I believe that that's the shift that's coming to this area. That they're going to look at a church and they're going to say, I don't understand it. I've been to so many churches and there's always been bickering. There's always been talking bad about one another. There's always been these things. But when I come to this church, the only thing that I see is love. The only thing that I see, it doesn't matter what someone's done, it doesn't matter how far they've fallen, it doesn't matter how broken they are. And I'm not talking about people coming into the church, I'm talking about people in the church. Because I don't know if it's just me, but the more you walk this thing out, the more you realize you're going to fall. Eventually, something's going to happen, and the reason that it happens is we've got to learn to ground ourselves around people that love us. I went to a church for a little over 2 years, and I called in my church family, but I never really felt like we was what you would call family. But then I come to ITL, and I found this family. I found this church family. It was something so different. It was people that loved me. And the thing about me is, you'll realize, is what I always worry about is one day you're going to get to know me. And you're going to say, well, maybe I changed my mind about this. No, because I talk a lot and I'm boisterous and I'm crazy all the time. It's just the way I used to try to run and hide from it, but it's just the way God made me and it's just the way I'm going to have to be. But I come to this church and so many churches I'd been to and I felt like I had to suppress that and they just embraced it. And it was like, man, this guy's wild, and I love it. You know what I mean? That was Sean Boone. But as I see these two churches join together, I begin to see that same family atmosphere that's carried over for both churches. I begin to see something that I didn't know how well it was going to turn out, but I felt the Holy Spirit on it so much when we joined together. I begin to see people that didn't even really know each other that well. And the next thing you know, they're out and they're going places together and they're going to the beach together and they're hanging out. And all of a sudden, they've become that same family and that atmosphere of family has carried over. And I believe that that love is beginning to build and beginning to grow in this house. And I believe that the shift is beginning to take place right now before our very eyes. I'm going to have to flip to the next page. I better move on because I've got a lot of scripture and y'all will make, be here at 2 o'clock. Somebody might throw something at me. 1 Corinthians 12, 13 through 31. And as I got to the end of this, I was reading over this morning because I like to familiarize myself with it. And God began to speak to me that this is a prophetic picture of the church, of how it has been and how it is now. But I believe that we're starting to come out of, and I know this is going to sound strange when I start reading these scriptures, but I believe we're getting ready to start coming out of this. And it says, for by one Spirit we are all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, have all been made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, because I'm not the hand, I'm not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear shall say, because I'm not the eye, I'm not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? And if the whole body were hearing, where were the smelling? But now hath God set members, every one of them, in the body as it has pleased Him. I mean, I just feel the Holy Spirit. I wasn't going to stop right there, but I just feel like there's always been such a world-based theory or mindset in the church of we've got to chase greatness. You know what I mean? That's our mindset from kids. Your mom and dad says, you know, my mom and dad probably told me at one point in time they wanted me to be a doctor. I knew I was destined to dig ditches. They didn't, apparently they saw something in me, maybe I didn't see, but that's just what I enjoyed, you know what I mean? But here's the thing is, I said this a long time ago, is it doesn't matter if you're the little toe or if you're the head or if you're the mouth or whatever you are in the body, is God set you that way because it pleased Him. And we've got to learn to be pleased with what God's called us to do. It doesn't matter what we want to do or what, because the bottom line is God sent his only son here to do one thing. He said, and it may have been conveyed at times, but it never was what he wanted to do. He comes to the garden three different times and said, God, if this cup could be passed from me, I wish that it would, but if not, then I'll do it for you. But he came here to do the Father's will. You're here to do the Father's will. That's the bottom line. If you're in this house this morning, regardless of how you feel or how you want to be, you're here to do God's will. That's God's will for your life. And the thing about it is you've got to have that level of saying, I'm here to please you, not to please me. And trust me, I could put a banner up behind me that says, ask me how I know. That's one that I've chased things. And if there were all one member, we're with the body, but now are the many members, yet but one body. And the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of thee, nor again the hand to the feet, I have no need of thee. Nay, much more those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary. Everybody say that here and say, I'm necessary. I don't care if you're the person that cleans up, and actually you're more necessary than anybody in this building, cleans up the messes and washes the dishes after everybody. You are necessary. You are necessary. The enemy has such a way of coming into your heart, especially in a family, and saying, you know, you're not necessary. You're not necessary. And I'm not trying to cry for myself, but I was the third child. My dad had a son and my mom had a daughter. And so there was times when I just didn't feel like I was necessary. You know what I mean? My brother's 6 years older than me. By the time I was old enough to do anything, he was capable of doing it. He didn't have to be taught. He could be taken. You know, my sister, my mother were constantly... I had a grandfather that I was really close to, and I kind of clinged to that. But the enemy wanted to constantly in that family separate me from my family and say, you're not necessary. He still does. You're not necessary. There's no need for you. I want you to know, if you're in this house this morning, that God has a need for you that pleases him. You are necessary. You are necessary. Regardless, it doesn't matter what you're called to do. There's nothing... And I'm going to go on because it goes on to say, in those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor, and our comely, uncomely parts have become abundant comeliness, and a comeliness means beautiful. For our comely parts have no need, but God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to the part which lacked, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. I believe the biggest part of learning how to love one another is realizing that we're all called to a certain purpose. We're all called to a certain purpose. If the true glory and love of God can begin to be manifest in this house, and all I'm called to ever do is hold the door, I'm going to praise Him till the day that I die. I'm going to praise Him because the will of God will be done. We weren't sent here to do our will and to do our desires. We were called, chosen to do the will of God. We are chosen to do His will. That's the bottom line. We're chosen to do His will. I didn't feel like it was going to go this way. That there should be. And whether a member have same care for one for another, and whether one member suffer, a whole member suffer. That's family. That's family. I'm not bad mouthing, but I've been in churches where I knew for a fact that I had friends out there that wasn't living right and wasn't doing right, that you could come to some of my church member family and you could start talking bad about me and they just join right in. But I got friends that are far from being saved that you could go to them and start talking bad about me and you better get up and move, because they're going to bust you. That's how it's got to be. And I'm not talking about, you know, I'm not giving y'all permission to bust people in the face, lest the Holy Spirit leads you there. No, I'm not. He's not going to. But here's the bottom line is I'm as saved as I'm going to be right now. But if you come to me talking about my pastor, or you come to me talking about, I'm not going to look at you and say, yeah, you know, let's give. I'm going to say, look, that's not right. That's not right. That's sowing discord. And that's how we've got to be in here if we're going to be a family. Because I believe that when family gets set and love gets set in this house, that there's going to be no more need for all these things that we have in this world, like psychiatrists and all this crazy, because you're not going to have to worry about not being able to go to your brother. I believe that it has driven me crazy my whole life to sit and watch people in perfect suits with crazy problems that they're hiding behind fake smiles. and want to sit and knowing that something, how many times have I sat in a church where I didn't feel comfortable knowing I had something going on the inside of me that was driving me insane, but I didn't trust my brother enough to go to him and say, hey, you know, that's what family is. Family's saying, hey, you can come to me and I'm going to take it with me to my grave. And it doesn't matter how bad it is, I'm not going to judge you because I love you because I have the love of God on the inside of me. That's what this love's going to be like. It's not just going to be, and I do firmly believe this, if you ever leave me or hang up, I will tell you I love you, because whether I love you or not, I believe that out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. And if you just keep speaking it, eventually you'll feel it. It's, I know that sounds crazy, but that's just how God's led me all these years. But, man, like I said, that was the Holy Spirit. Praise you, God. And it says, if one member be honored, all the other members rejoice with it. Whew. Isn't that the hardest one? Isn't that the one the enemy preys on us the most with? I mean, is it just, I'm just going to stand up here and be transparent for a second, but there's been, maybe I wasn't living right, but I've been like, God, you know, I've had my face down, I've had my nose down, I'm praying hard, I'm doing this, and I'll see somebody raised up. But the bottom line is God's doing things in the order that pleases Him. It doesn't matter what pleases us or what we want or what we think. What we've got to come in contact with is God's will and God's holiness. And we've got to understand that you know, it doesn't matter what goes on in service or in church or anywhere in the body of Christ, as long as our Heavenly Father is pleased. As long as at the end of this, it's the only thing I've ever asked of Him is at the end of this, that He lead me in a way that I stand before Him and He say, my good and faithful servant, you can come on in. That's all I want. There's no desire for me to have a big platform. There's no desire for me to have a big church. Or that desire was there, but one thing about that desire is somewhere along the road, He'll kill it. Somewhere along the road, He'll... I'm telling you, if you've got that desire, God bless you, because it's about to be an amazing road, an amazing journey, and you're about to find the presence of God like you never thought you would find. And it says, now we're one body in Christ, and members in particular, and God has set some in the church first apostles and secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers, and after that miracles and the gifts of healing and helps of governments and diversities of tongue. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Are all workers of miracles? Have all gifts of healing? Do all speak in tongues? Do all interpret? But cover utterly the best gifts, and yet I show you a more excellent way. That's been the bane of church since I've been alive. Man, you got to hear this guy. He's on fire for God. Man, you know, that's good. That's just good Holy Ghost preaching right there. I don't know how many times I've heard that in my life. That's just good Holy Ghost preaching. Whew, come feel like I went through a blender and come out the other side. That's just, woo! But he says all that to turn right around and say, yet I show you a more excellent way. I'm going to show you something more excellent. And then it turns right over into where we're going next, which is 1 Corinthians chapter 13. I'm going to set these out side by side.
Mike. I apologize. Maybe this paper wasn't the best idea.
And in 13 it says, it begins to talk about charity. And we all know that any other interpretation or translation of the Bible, this one says love, so that even works even better. But it says love. It's love. But I began to look up the definition of charity. And charity just simply means to give, or to give things to people, or give money. You know, it can go into a lot of definitions. But, you know, I asked God, I said, you know, when I saw charity and He began to deal with me, I said, well, what do we give? And God began to speak to me that the only true gift of love is ourselves. We give everything we've got to everyone we come in contact with because we've got an example that came here and lived his life. And I believe if you asked him, you're here to give what? Jesus would have said, I'm here to give everything. I'm here to give everything that I am. We are Christ in us. Christ's on the inside of us. So if Christ is on the inside of us and we are living with Him in there, we're called in the same likeness that He was called in. We're called to give everything, not just a tenth, not just 10%. We're called to give it all. It's, you know, I was reading in chapter 2 of Acts, and I was beginning to, you know, God was beginning to process this whole love thing in me, and I saw in chapter 2, and it said that there was 120 praying in chapter 2? I don't want to go too far off the number. That number's not too important. But there's 120 praying, and the Spirit of God comes upon them. And they were waiting together. Does it say how long they wait? People that, Bible scholars, anybody. But they're waiting. Let's just say they're waiting. Let's say it's a week. Let's say it's a day. Let's say it's 2 months. I don't know how long they wait, because I maybe should have read that a little bit better. But here's the thing. If you're in a room with 120 people that long waiting on something, you better be family. You better have something going on that other people, because you can put people in a room and, you know, you can put people in a room together and you know how that's going to turn after about a week with nothing. But they waited together. They waited as a family and they waited in love. But here's what blew my mind about it, is when they come out of waiting and the Holy Spirit falls on them and something amazing's happening and they've been sitting there in love waiting together, 3,000 people saw them and said, man, there's something peculiar about these people. I must turn my heart to God. I believe that that's what's coming to this church. I believe that Bluefield, Tazewell, Mercer County, this area, when they say that this is going to reach nations, it's because of the fact that people's going to see a love coming out of this house. It's not going to be a minister. It's not going to be a preacher. It's not going to be laying hands on people. It's going to be love that comes out of here and reaches everyone. But it says, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, and have not charity, I've become a sounding brass and a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I can remove mountains and have not charity, I'm nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself and is not puffed up. You know that There's a reason this is read at so many weddings. I mean, when God marries two houses together like He did here, there's a reason that God wants to establish this. Love is going to be the banner of this house. Love is going to be the banner of this people. I just believe that so much. Charity vaunteth not itself and is not puffed up. It doth not behave itself unseemly. Seeketh not her own. It is not easily provoked. It thinketh no evil. Rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in truth. It blows my mind at the churches that I've been to that when someone falls, it seems just like people rejoice in it. It seems that they rejoice in iniquity. They rejoice in people falling. And I believe that this is going to be a house that when a brother falls, there's just going to be several standing around saying, look, I've got my hand out for you. You're never going to be too far gone for me to love you. I tell people this all the time, that, and me and Sean's talked about it, and I say, look, it doesn't matter if tomorrow you give up the ministry and you leave and you go out and start. I said, I'm still going to love you. I said, because once I call you my friend and once I call you my brother, that's it. I don't care what you do, it doesn't change. And that's the kind of love it's got to be in this house, is it's got to be that kind of love that says, look, it doesn't matter if you're walking straight or if you're straight. I'm not going to say, you know, he's getting out there kind of crazy. I'm not going to mess with that guy no more. You know, he's getting, I don't know what he's talking about. Or look, amen. He rejoiceth in the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, and endureth all things. Charity never faileth, but whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part, but when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spake as a child, and I understood as a child, and I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, and then I shall know even as I am known. And now abideth faith, hope, and love, faith, hope, and charity, which is love. These three, but the greatest of these is charity. The greatest is love. God began to show me that, and I read this out, and it kind of was amazing how it fell into place for me. But for the past years, everyone has sought the gifts. Everyone has sought speaking in tongues. Everyone has sought this. Everyone has sought that. And I've been so guilty so many times of looking at the Methodists and the Baptists and even using those in references in ministry and saying, you know, that they were missing it or this, that, and another. But God says, look, the bottom line is, if you got all this other stuff and don't have love, then you've missed it. You're going to spend your whole life miserable. You're going to spend your whole life wanting. You're going to spend your whole life. You can speak. And I've asked me how I know. I've spent my life in ministry and not had the love of God in my life, that personal love of God. And I believe that this is going to be a people and a generation that finds love by sitting in the presence of God. By sitting in the presence of God and basking in the love of a Savior that loves us. Okay. And the reason this all come together and God began is I asked God, I said, well, if this is what's going on, if this is where we're shifting from, and this is where we're going, it's just into those things are great. Speaking in tongues and those things are called in the body. And I'm not saying that they're not. I want to make sure that you know that. I'm not condemning anyone that speaks in tongues or anything like that. But love is, God began to tell me, I said, what is the problem? And God said, we can't give what we haven't received. We can't give a love that we haven't accepted. And I said, well, if you're going to tell me that, you're going to have to explain it to me. And he said, in Luke 15, 11 through 32, and these are all some very familiar scriptures, but, and he said, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of the goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together, and he took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in the land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself with a citizen of the country, and he sent him into the fields to feed the swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with husk of the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will rise and go to my father, and will say unto him, Father, I've sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I've sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is now alive again. He was lost and is now found, and they began to be merry. I believe that probably describes the majority of us at one point in time in our life, that we ran away from God. I remember being as a young child, I had an uncle that was probably about 31 or 32 that died of cancer. And I can still see him in that old country church with the hard wooden pews that had no cushion on them and the little curve to it. And he's up there on the floor and they're all standing around him and he's dying of, he had mesothelioma. And they're laying hands on him and they're declaring that he's going to be healed. And I can remember at 10 years old thinking, you know, God, I believe in you, and I believe you're going to do this. And I mean, there was so much I didn't understand. And I believe that probably is one of the things the enemy used in my life to kind of press me away from God. But I was so, just knew that God was going to heal him. I know that there's probably everyone in this room could raise your hand and say, there was just someone that died that I just knew that God was going to heal. I just knew it. I just knew God was going to heal him. And so as I got older, he began to use that and play that. And about 16 years old, I just turned from the Lord. And I didn't find my way back to God till about, well, the 7th of this month will make 5 years. And I didn't find my way back to God. But I found my way back, and I come in as that son, you know, that said, God, I've done this and I've done that. And I want you to be my father, and I want you to love on me. And I believe we've all been there, but God began to speak to me and say that there's two types of sons. And that's the type of son that comes back and says, look, I've messed up. And he just realizes, hey, you know, I've lost it all. I'm just would be happy to be back in your house. But then the other type of son that I believe is still in the church today, and it says, now the elder son was in the field. And as he came and drew nigh to the house, he heard the music and dancing. And he called one of the servants and asked him what these things meant. And he said unto them, thy brother is come. The father hath killed the fat of the calf because he hath received and safe and sound. And he was angry and would not go in. Therefore came his father out and entreated him. And he answered him and said unto his father, lo, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgressed I at any time thy commandment, and yet thou never gavest me a kid that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as thy son was come, which had devoured thy living with the harlots, thou hast killed him the fatted calf. And said unto him, son, thou art ever with me. He said unto his son, he said, son, thou art ever with me, and all I have is thine. And it is meet we should make merry and be glad, for thy brother, which was dead, is alive again, and was lost and is found. And God began to speak to my heart and say that if this kind of love was going to come into the house, there was going to have to be a joining of the two separate sons that was in the house. Because I believe that in the church today we've got sons that are just, and like I said, ask me how I know, because probably 3 or 4 weeks ago, maybe a month, I was in my bedroom and I said, God, you know, I said, I don't know what's going on. I said, I don't understand why my heart feels this way. I was probably one of the people that interceded for this, and me and Sean talked about it, and I just believed that this shift was coming, that this shift was such a godly thing. But still, knowing that the shift, and like I said, God's such a gentleman. When we came here, God said, you know, you need to take 90 days off. He's such a gentleman, because I allowed things to creep into my heart that begin to allow me to look at brothers and say, you know, this or that. And I realized, you know, hey, there's something wrong. And a week or two into that, I realized, okay, there's something wrong. And I feel like if you're in this house today and there's been any kind of voices coming to you saying, hey, you know, well, this person come from ITL or that person come from ITL, or you've been in this longer than they have, or you can look. I've looked at God and said, look, God, you know, I've never done nothing that crazy. I've never messed up that bad. But the difference is this. I went to my bedroom and I was on my knees and I was praying, and God, I had a vision, and I said, God, what's the problem with me? He said, well, he said, you was a son that came home. He said, but you never accepted the ring and the robe. And that ring, that circle, that symbol's completion. You never accepted that it was done. You never accepted that 2,000 and some odd years ago on a cross, everything that you brought back with you wasn't with you no more. You were just a son. That I come out, that I laid my head on your neck and I cried into you and I said, look, I'm just glad that you're back. He said, and what happens is when you don't allow God to place that ring and that robe on your hand is that this other son begins to rise up on the inside of you. That pride begins to rise up on the inside of you, and you begin to say, well, look at my brother. I've done less than he has. I never touched drugs. I never committed adultery. I never did this or I never did that. But the fact of the matter is that you still haven't accepted that ring and that robe. You still haven't gotten the presence of a holy God and said, look, I'm not here because of what my father has or he can give me. It's not about an inheritance. I'm just happy to be a son. Yes. He's just saying to you this morning, that's just all that you need. What I found in that bedroom that night was joy. I said, God, it doesn't matter if I preach to thousands of people. It doesn't matter if I have this or have that. All I want to do is be your son. All I want to do is lay in your presence and look at my father and just be glad to be home. Just be glad to be home. And I think that in this house this morning, as I wind this thing up, I think that there's some people in here. And like I said, it didn't happen by some person laying hands on me. It didn't happen. It happened with me getting in the presence of God and being real, saying, look, I got a heart problem. I need some surgery. I need you to go in there and resuscitate everything that's wrong in me. And the bottom line is, he said, you haven't accepted that ring and that robe. You've come home, but you never accepted the fact that it's all done. And when you accept that, when I begin to accept that a few weeks ago, I begin to look at my brothers and say, man, I just love them. I just want to see God exalt them and lift them up. And if all I ever do is sit in a room and intercede for God to perform something great in their life, if that's my calling, for God just to put me in a room by myself in the dark and me just intercede that He does great things in you, if it pleases my Father, I'm just glad to be home and be a son. So this morning, I'm going to see if someone will come up here and play something. I just feel that in my spirit. It's like I said, it's a personal thing between you and God. If you're in this house and you feel like that you've come home, but you just never accepted that ring and that robe, I feel like you can come up to this altar this morning. And God told me, He said, I'm just going to allow rings and robes to fall in that house this morning. He said, they're just going to fall. And He said, they've been there the whole time, sitting above them. And I mean, I can just see them hovering above your heads in this room. And I believe God's going to allow that to fall on your heart, and He's going to bless you with that.
Listen, I want to talk some more about Brandon in a little bit. Well, no, I'll just go ahead and do it now. There are different types of mantles, and I think you're going to see this bear out, but Brandon has a prophetic mantle for the house, and when he brings a word, it's a word to the house, and there's such a prophetic This what he walks in is a you just got 30 or 40 minutes of a prophetic word. You didn't just get a message. You didn't just get a sermon, and you didn't just get a teaching. All contained all of that. You got a direct message from heaven to this house. Now the mantle he operates under, many times it will shift and give direction to this house. Even as prophets, they're different kind of prophets. But I want you to understand, I don't want you to take lightly what just happened here. God was speaking a word to this entire body that will set the tone for this entire body for generations to come. I want you to understand, I want you to understand when someone walks in what he walks in, the message carries far more weight. That's why it usually has tears behind it. And as he was speaking, I'm telling you that right now, this whole word he got from last week to this week will become the DNA of this house. As a matter of fact, somewhere coming in the mail will be the biggest white banner I can get with blue letters that say love on it. I'm telling you, there's the prophetic mantle on his life has spoken something, and the Lord wants us to follow through with it. Preferably, I'd like it when people look up above the stage in the middle of the worship team. His banner over us is love. And I want that so everybody who comes in, so if you're a part of the church, you're always reminded of the mission. The first demonstration of who we are as a ministry will be this love. So as he was speaking, the Holy Spirit brought something back to my attention, and I want to read something to you. Bob Jones, Prophet Bob Jones. Probably symbolic that I read Bob Jones after you speak, by the way. But anyway, Bob Jones died and went to heaven. And here's what happened when Bob went to heaven. When Bob went to heaven, they didn't say, "Man, you did great and mighty things." They didn't talk about the gifts that he had. They didn't talk about churches that people planted. He stood in heaven and watched people come and stand before the Lord. I want you to hear this. I want you to hear what God's going to ask when you stand before him. Jesus is about ready to sweep here. I'm telling you right now. Bob said, "I was in pain on this earth and blood was shooting out of my mouth like a geyser. All of a sudden, I wasn't in pain anymore. This man, the Paraclete, stood by my side, the Holy Spirit. We started walking, and as we walked, I saw a man who was white light. All white light was around him, but he was the whitest of all white lights. He had his hands out. As I came into that white light, there came a feeling over me like I had never known before. I asked the man beside me, 'What is that?' The man, the Holy Spirit, said, 'It is the love of God.' I said, 'It's just so wonderful. It's so glorious.' And he said, 'That's what it is, the glory of God.' You hear that? The glory of God is the love of God. It's not some kind of service we have when we said the glory moved in. The glory of God is the love of God. I said, how can it be both? It's in John 17. The love I had with the Father, the glory I had with the Father, so that was the greatest experience I've ever had. Just enveloped in His glorious love. That's possible down here. The glory of God is coming and it's going to be in His glorious love. Did you hear what I just told you? I'm trying to tell you, He's giving you a prophetic word, a deep prophetic word. Listen to that. The glory of God is coming and it's going to be in His glorious love. What's it look like when the glory comes to the church? What's it going to look like when glory comes to Father's House International Church? It's going to look like love. I noticed another group of people on my left side, and they had a conveyor belt beneath them. And they were wrapped up in all different kinds of things. You better hear me. They were wrapped up in all kinds of different things. And I looked at them and I asked this man, why are they wrapped up that way? And he said, they were wrapped up in the earth with their gods. It's the gods they worshipped on earth that followed them into death. Money. You fill in the blank. They were on their way to hell with their gods. I saw a man wrapped up in dollar bills. I saw a man wrapped up in his sod or grass. His yard was his god. I saw a man that had no body. He was just one big head. He was an atheist. He worshipped himself. He was his own god and nothing, and going to hell with it. I saw all manner of things of people who worshipped on the earth, who they are going to spend eternity with. I worship the Lord, and I'm going to spend eternity with Him. But these others that don't are going to spend eternity in total darkness. And their gods will be tormentors. So I looked at that line. It was so horrible. And everyone, when they came there, they recognized Him. Their eyes got big. And everyone that is going to hell has had a witness in one way or another that there is a God. And every one of them willingly denied Him. Now I want you to listen. I want you to listen to the question asked to the ones who were going to heaven. I watched the Lord speak to people that were coming there. I watched. Whew. I watched the Lord speak to the people that were coming there, and He asked them only one question. Standing before the Lord of eternity, He asked them one question. Did you learn to love? The only question He asked was, did you learn to love? He's not going to ask you what you did. If you learn to love, you're going to do what is right. Did you learn to love? He would ask them that question and they would say, yes, Lord. And He would kiss them right on the lips and embrace them, and the double doors of His heart would open and they would go right on in. Are you hearing me? The one thing He wants to know, did you learn to love? And you have to understand in that capacity, whew, man. He said, did you learn to love? Could it be that the hard things you faced in your life, the assignment was to get you to learn to love? Could it be what you're facing right now in your life? The one thing is, He's saying, I'm trying to teach you to love. So when you stood before Him, that's the one thing He's going to ask. Did you learn how to love? Come on, I'm going to give you just a couple minutes to come to the altar right now. Some of you right now have got people that are driving you crazy, and you got anger issues with them. And what you need to do is come down and recognize, okay, Lord, I get it. I get it that this is all about you forming love in me. It's about becoming love. Ron's been teaching us for years. It's not about loving. It's about becoming love. Come on, there's freedom getting ready to hit this place. The wind of the Spirit is coming in this place right now. Come on, you need to forgive some people this morning. Come on, you need to let it go. You need to quit trying to fix it, I'm telling you. You need to say, okay, Lord, I get it. It's a God moment right here, folks. Ah, I see people getting delivered in this room right now. Cause us to become love, Lord.
Love, become love.
Come on. It was only to teach you how to love.
It was only to teach you.
Some wives, you need to forgive some wives right now in this room. You need to forgive some husbands. You need to forgive some ex-pastors and ex-leaders in this room right now.
To teach you how to love, ooh, everything you walk through.
Teach us how to love, Lord.
To teach you how to love.
Let us become love, Lord. Some of you got anger issues toward God. Your love relationship with God is not right because you've blamed Him for things that have gone on in your life. Some of you need to forgive your mom or dad. Come on, forgive your mom right now.
Becoming love.
Lord, I pray for every person in here that has an ought against someone, that you would let them in this moment. I decree and declare supernaturally that you're going to see the way your mom sees right now. You're going to see the way your dad sees right now. You're going to experience things from their perspective. It's going to cause you to have a love.
Teach us how to love. Teach me how to love. That I may become love. Grow.
Baptize us in love, Lord.
Growing in love.
Come on, baptize us in your love, Lord. Come on, Lord, supernaturally baptize us in love. Cause people in this room to be able to hug someone that they hated when they came in this room this morning.
Baptize me in love. Baptize me in love. Teach me how to love.
Help us to become love.
That we may become love. That we may become love. Oh, that we're yoked with you. Walking beside you every step of the way. Ooh, becoming love, becoming love. Oh,
now come on, just for a couple of minutes.
Becoming love.
We ask you to come now, Lord.
Love, oh,
manifest yourself in this place, Lord. You are love.
Walking with you, walking with love. Walking with love. What I look at, I become. What I look at, I become. Let me gaze into the eyes of love. I'm becoming love.
we ask that as we leave this place today, that we would be like piercing light when we walk into Walmart, when we walk into the schools, when we walk onto our jobs. Let it be like piercing love. Lord, we believe that you're going to cause us to walk in your love in such a capacity that people cry just because we enter the room. Help us to be glorified, Lord, to be glorified, to look like you, so that when we enter any arena, when we enter any atmosphere, people experience love. Teach us to become. You better hear me. Signs, wonders, and miracles will not come from a gift in this season. They will manifest through anyone who has been perfected in love. I'm prophesying to you right now. I don't care if you've got a gift that you can lay hands on people and them get healed. You're going to see no-name people that have understood how to manifest love that will see the blind see, the lame walk, and the deaf hear, while people who stand on pulpits lose the manifestation. There will be no manifestation through gifts. There will be manifestation through those who have become the love of Christ. For his power shall be manifested in his love. His power is manifested in his love. The church that becomes love will see harvest. Not the church that does stuff, the church that becomes love. Can't explain to you what I'm seeing, but it's almost like we're glow sticks. If we become love, it's like we're glow sticks going into the darkness and they cannot resist just because we showed up. Love showed up. Come on, let go of every ought you have in your heart against anyone this morning. Do you know that witches and people involved in spiritual things know they see you by light? And do you not know that with the lack of love within you and the anger that you have and the schism that you have with people in your life causes them to see darkness instead of light? You better hear me. We want to walk the street and light penetrate people. And one of the reasons the light doesn't penetrate is because our heart is dark, because we hold on to grudges. Father, we say it. We'll be a house of miracles because we'll be a house of love. We'll be a house of miracles because we'll be a house of love. Lord, we say it. Let the atmosphere be one of love. Convict every heart that has schism and holds a grudge. Don't let anyone be able to stay among us that holds grudges. So that the atmosphere is so pure when people come in that nobody touches them, they just get healed. Because they step into you. Can you get that with me? See, the glory of the Lord is the character of the Lord, which is love. And miracles happen just when they step in to the atmosphere of his love.
For your banner over me is love. Oh, your banner over me.
So Lord, this morning we recognize that man has not spoken to us. You have spoken to us. I want you to leave here. I want to commission you to leave here understanding the number one mission of a Father's House International Church member is to demonstrate love. What do you do if you go to this church? You demonstrate love. So Lord, we don't take this lightly. We ask you to give us grace. Give us supernatural grace to love the unlovable. This takes grace.
I was born to love.
I keep being drawn back to parents in here. Some of you need to forgive your parents. You need to begin to allow the Holy Spirit to cause you to see what they saw that caused them to do what they did. Please don't leave here with unforgiveness in your heart toward anyone.
Walking into pure light, I am coming into you. And all I've been, all I was, fades away.
Lord, may we be able to say, when you ask, did you learn to love? May we be able to say, yes. Yes. You can be dismissed. Father, we ask for grace and mercy on every life. You can stay here if you want to stay here.